And welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and as always, I'm wishing you the best. One thing is, many people who are our listeners here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z also belong to our mailing list. And if you'd like to belong to the mailing list, you just go to naturalnurse.com, and it's a really easy process. We don't even ask your name. You just run down to the bottom of the page, and it says join the mailing list, and that's it. After that, you are just your email. Then you get a mailing from us very occasionally, maybe once a month. And one thing that we do send out is our events. And we have a lot of up-and-coming events at the end of our summer season here and the beginning of our fall season. And you don't have to join the mailing list to get the events. What you can do is just go to naturalnurse.com and hit calendar. In fact, we should probably say events there so people know. But where it says calendar, here are the ones coming right up. We have an edible and medicinal herb walk live at Hive Market in Oyster Bay. This is an actual breaking news event because we're going back to live events where we're actually together walking in the field and gathering wild, edible, and medicinal plants. And that one will be at Hive Market, which is a wonderful new place in Oyster Bay, Long Island, which is my home in the summer versus Deerfield Beach, my home in the winter. In Oyster Bay, Long Island, there's a real renaissance happening because so many of the stores that have been here, because this is an old town, very much used by President Theodore Roosevelt, and it's always been a fantastic little town, but so many of the older stores closed. But now, with coming out of COVID, all these new stores came in, and a lot of real new agey kind of crystal places and, you know, cannabis places. It's a whole new world because this is an old town. So one of the places is this beautiful craft place that was put together called Hive Market. And at Hive Market, they invite local artists to share crafts and classes. So that's where this one's going to be. And it's called Edible and Medicinal Herb Walk at Hive Market. It's on August 28th. If you're anywhere in the area, feel free to come. Go to naturalnurse.com calendar and you get a map to come there. It's live. It's free. And what I'm going to set up is a PowerPoint projector with slides about local wild and edible plants, mostly weeds, actually, that you can use for food and medicine. Good thing to know in a hurricane when the electric goes out. But we'll also go out in the field and experience them. So either way, then we have another one coming up called Biofilm, Herbal Support in a Sticky Situation. Biofilm is linked to so many illnesses, and it's also part of what we discuss that's a very hot topic of late called the microbiome. Well, biofilm, you've experienced, because it's the gunky stuff that you can actually feel on your teeth. That's why we brush our teeth. But it also accumulates in many other areas of the body. So that is a free and CEU webinar for those who are professionals. So you can join right by going to naturalnurse.com and click on biofilm, herbal support in a sticky situation. Then we have a wonderful Great Lakes Herb Fair, and that's in Chelsea, Michigan. In Michigan, but it's virtual. So I will be doing a 4-hour presentation at the Great Lakes Herb Fair, which is a whole kind of day event. And we're going to be talking about women's health, natural birth control, all kinds of things having to do with every cycle of a woman's life. It will be based on one of the many books I've written. This book is called Cycles of Life, Herbs and Energy Techniques for the Stages of a Woman's Life. But beyond my presentation at the Great Lakes Herb Fair, it's a full weekend of an herb fair that is being done virtually. So you can find out about that one right at naturalnurse.com calendar. Then we have another autumn wild, edible, and herb identification walk at our wonderful Restoration Farm, where we hold events all the time. We've done two other events there this season. Restoration Farm is a 10-acre, beautiful, beyond organic, I say, Biodynamic Farming Community Center and CSA on Long Island. You can't even believe when you're there that you're on Long Island. You think you've traveled hours up into upstate Catskills, but that is open for your enjoyment. That is on September 11th. And then we have a lot of online classes coming up that do grant CEU credits for nurses, nurse practitioners, registered dietitians, massage therapists, and other professionals. And this one's called Opiates, the Problem and Natural Solutions. How do we help those who have gotten trapped in that opiate merry-go-round, and how can they be helped with natural solutions? And then we have one called Edible and Medicinal Wild Plants on the North Shore, and that's going to be at the Historical Society in Oyster Bay. And then every month we have a Hildegard group where we study about Hildegard, which is the just an amazing, teacher of mine, even though she lived in the year 1000-something, but her work has been captured and passed down. She's a true eclectic woman who was a nun, an herbalist, and also the top scientist in Germany. So, you know, her interests span things that I really relate to, which is every single thing about plant medicine, from the spiritual aspects to the chemistry. Of course, we have a greater understanding now about chemistry than she did in her day, but nonetheless, that was her focus. So those are free. They're every month. It's a Hildegard study group. You don't have to go to the series. We do it every month. You can bop in, and that's not a lecture. That's a sharing. So everybody gets a chance to talk. If you want to, we sometimes have a few hundred people on that. And then we are hoping to have our fall season Chinatown Herb Walk in October, where we actually go to Chinatown and study Chinese medicine. This is the first time we're doing that since, the whole COVID thing. So we'll see if we get people who want to go to Chinatown and walk around. It is an outside event, and it's a Chinatown Herb Walk. It's our 45th year doing that. So all kinds of things. Just go to naturalnurse.com calendar, and we'd love to see you join us at any of those events. So today, we're so happy to bring on board as our guest right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, a wonderful physician. Her name is Dr. Michelle Thompson. And Dr. Thompson earned her medical degree at Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York. And then she also specialized in geriatrics at Montefiore Medical Center and was a geriatrician for many, many years. And beyond that, she has now delved into the practice of functional medicine, which is a whole new career. So now she is really getting into a more holistic view of people, looking at even severe chronic illnesses through emotional, mental, spiritual, as well as physical aspects. So we're so happy to bring her on board. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Thompson.
Thank you for having me, Ellen. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you are one of those people who, like myself, you're sort of an addict for learning, I would say, which is not a bad addiction.
Yes, I would say. I would agree.
Because also when you get involved and interested in something, it seems that you don't just briefly peruse it, you get really pulled in and study it deeply.
Yes, and learning how the body heals itself is a passion of mine. And it's just wonderful being able to understand the body on a deeper level, on a spiritual level, and to be able to help and empower patients and just folks in general to be able to reclaim their health independently.
Well, I would say that I noticed that you were part of Holy Cross Hospital and that you were part of the palliative care and what's called VITAS. I want to share that my dad, who passed away just last year, was in a VITAS-run hospice in Florida at the hospital on Sample Road there, Broward County. And I was very impressed with their care. I really was. And it seemed to have like very much a deep spiritual focus, both for the patient and the family as well.
Yes, hospice care is catered to the patients and the families. And it can not only caters to their physical needs, but their emotional and spiritual needs as well. And it is compassionate, it is supportive, and if we're able to allow patients the opportunity to have healing, emotional healing, mental healing, spiritual healing while they're transitioning, it's very valuable to the patients, the families, and the staff. There's a level of connection and connectivity when we support the patients and their families.
So one thing I was wondering when I was going through that, because thank God my dad, God bless him, was never old a day in his 94 years, never. He was the day of, he was literally running around, driving, playing ball, going out to eat, having a drink, drinking and driving, which he always did till 94, and then coming home and having a real quick massive stroke, boom, okay? So then he wound up at that hospital, and they kind of said, you know, we could do emergency surgery, but what's the point? And myself and my sister and my mom agreed, so he wound up in hospice and was there for a few days. But looking at the kind of caring that went on there and the whole quietness of the place, the supportiveness to the family, why can't that be expanded beyond just end of life?
Well, that's a great question. I think it can be expanded beyond end of life. In fact, palliative care is symptom management for folks with chronic illnesses, and hospice is a subset of palliative care for particularly focused on patients at their end of life. And so in palliative care, we do gear towards having that increased level of communication and support, increasing the patient's and family's understanding of their illness trajectory, what to expect, what their treatment options are, the risks and benefits, so that their decisions are truly informed and it is in their best interest. And it's a partnership of care. So it is available, it is possible, and many hospitals throughout the country now offer palliative care services. So that is available.
Oh, so you're saying they're instituting these kinds of programs, but you don't have to be on your last part of life to access them. Because a lot of people with chronic illnesses, it seems to me, there's nothing else more big, dramatic medical thing that could be done for them. But how about some kindness, some good food, some good, you know, quiet space to be in? And that just sounds like a wonderful way to go.
Yeah, so most palliative programs are implemented in the hospital. There are some outpatient programs. However, the depth and level of non-clinical support is unlikely to be equivalent to that of what hospice is able to provide. And people often seek supportive services on the spiritual level outside of palliative care programs, because these programs have to be funded either by the hospitals or often in conjunction with the support of a hospice.
Because as a physician, and you have been involved as a physician for many, many decades, and you've been the head of many different programs, so I'm sure you've functioned both with your internal knowing of the value of, let's say, natural remedies, of good food, of love and attention to patients. But then as the head of programs, you had to also balance, you know, getting that bottom line together.
Right. There is a fiscal responsibility. There are data or metrics that the hospital or institutions used for determining the impact of the quality of care, as well as the fiscal responsibility to the organization. And so we try to find that balance in being responsible to the patients and families, as well as to the hospitals.
Yeah, it's not an easy line to toe. Although I'll tell you, I'll share one experience, which was wonderful. There's a nurse practitioner. She, in fact, was a guest on this show. And she became the head of facility, which is a rough kind of facility, because she actually had the criminally insane. That was the patient population. And that's not an easy patient population in an institution. So one of the things she decided to do, because she's into functional medicine, as you are, and I want to remind our listeners that we're talking today with Dr. Michelle Thompson, and you can find her at Epoch Medical. That's E-P-O-C-H-E, so epochmedical.org. And she does wonderful one-on-one sessions and can actually manage your case and from anywhere, although she's located in Florida. But what this nurse practitioner did, Dr. Thompson, is she came on board and she was a functional person like you are, trained in that functional medicine, which we'll let you describe what it's about. She came in and said, no, everything here is all wrong. These people are having all kinds of psychiatric symptoms. Well, they're the criminally insane. And they're being fed nothing but chemicals, nothing but chemicals. Every meal is just warmed up, what she considered garbage. And I'm sure you would agree. And is what usually is the case. And she said, I'm changing the food system here. She called all the cooks together and said, we have this giant commercial kitchen, and the only thing you can do is open frozen stuff and put it in those ovens. No, you're not. We're getting out those bowls. We're getting out the knives. We're buying food from the local farm country all around here, and we're going to actually cook it. Your cooks, you're going to cook for the inmates here. So, you know, she got a lot of pushback from everybody, but she said, fine, even if she's there 1 year and then she's like, oh, she's doing it. And she did all that. And then simultaneously, she did a study on measuring outcome in terms of patient behavior and all those kinds of things that you have to do in a criminally insane facility. She got such a great outcome, both in changes in clinical things that were documented after about a year on healthy food, and brought in the food budget below the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's actually more cost effective to eat a more whole food based diet. Processed food is more expensive. There's that argument that eating a whole food plant-based diet is more expensive, but when you look at dollar for dollar, it's not just more cost effective when you're at the grocery store, but it impacts your health, your wellness, and it reduces the need for physician visits and medications, allergies, and the side effects of getting treatment. So there's a long-term financial impact as well.
That is a big point, because how many of your patients will tell you, they come to you, go, oh no, I can't eat natural food. It's too expensive.
Yes, and I encourage them to go to the grocery store and to do a side-by-side comparison, buy their regular, put their regular foods in a cart, and then have another cart and just pick up the whole food, plant-based foods that I'm recommending, and get it rung up at the register just to see what the costs are, and they will actually see the difference in the prices.
Right. And if people say, let's say they can't afford organic, let's say, but let's say a cabbage, if you buy an organic cabbage, that's wonderful. And maybe it costs, 95 cents versus an inorganic cabbage, which might be 75 cents. So the cost isn't that different anyway. And still, I would say, if you can't go organic, just get whole food to start with.
Absolutely, because even if it is not organic, the body was designed by a magnificent intelligence that the benefits of the plant-based foods outweigh the negative effects of the non-organic or conventional foods. The body is designed to be able to heal itself if we provide it with what it needs. So the cabbage has those things to support that process.
And you know what I do? What do you do? Let's ask you. So then I get back from clients saying the time management issue. They think it's going to take too long to cook food versus stopping at, you know, we'll just say Mick, whatever.
The time management issue is a real issue for a lot of folks. I think people don't tend to have an awareness of what their schedule looks like and the downtime or the wasted time that they have. And meal planning and meal preparation can save a lot of time. And so there's that initial investment of a couple of hours to plan the meals and then to do meal prep. And once they have an organized schedule, it's a little easier. There is an adjustment period. Oftentimes, people find the time that they didn't think they have, and it required just removing essentially non-productive and wasted time.
I totally agree, because I've been doing that literally for 50 years, more than 50 years, 60, maybe more than 60. I've been around a long time doing natural medicine, but that's just what I do. On Sunday afternoon, I spend 2 hours and steam vegetables, and then I put them, let them cool, and then I put them in these glass containers with tight tops on them. And a lot of it goes in the freezer, some goes in the fridge, and some go in a bag that I call my grab-and-go bag. And I never leave the house without already prepared food. And then I would have rice cakes and fruit and other grab-and-go items. And, you know, my kids were raised that way as well. And it costs much less.
Yes, and it saves time.
Saves time. And then what I'll do, I have done this when I'm on the road a lot. I have actually gone into a 7-Eleven type store. And I have actually brought in my little glass dish when I wanted something just quickly warmed up. I've put it in the microwave there for a minute, or else I will eat it room temperature. Because by the time you're, you know, traveling, let's say, by the middle of the day, everything is fine, even if it's room temperature.
Mm-hmm. I've done the same thing, and I've even traveled with one of those small coolers, and I've had a warm pack to keep the foods that I need to keep warm, so that when I worked with Vitas, I was often on the road, so I didn't want to stop to have to buy food. So I had my meals prepared in these bags, and I'd pull over and I would just eat my food. So, yeah, it's tricks of the trade, like stopping and using someone's microwave.
Yikes.
usually okay, right,
and,
it's not.
And I don't love microwaves. I don't use it at home. But I'm just saying, there's ways to do this. When people say, no, I can't eat healthy because I travel, well, you and I do. And what about the money you save and the time you save by not having to go to so many doctors and not spending money on pharmaceuticals? How about that? We're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars that you save, as well as being pain-free and, you know, all the benefits that come from a holistic whole foods diet.
Wow, that's priceless.
So we're going to take a one-minute break right here, Doctor. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion. You can let our audience know what functional medicine is and all the wonderful testing that you're able to do in your office and with your clients. And, you know, we'll continue our discussion right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we'll be right back with more.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss an herb we all know and love, cinnamon.
Ah, spicy, sweet smell of cinnamon. Everyone recognizes the familiar aroma of this common kitchen spice. But did you know that cinnamon is an exotic plant bark with a long history of medicinal use in many countries throughout the world? Cinnamon was listed as an herb with medicinal properties in Chinese literature as early as 2700 BC. It is described in the Chinese medical text, the Tang Materia Medica, written in 659 AD. Cinnamon also enjoys traditional use in Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing art of India. It is mentioned in the Book of Moses and has been cultivated in Ceylon and Sri Lanka since 1200 AD, where much of the world's supply is still grown.
In Europe, cinnamon was regarded as a rare and precious spice. Many pharmaceutical substances such as cough syrups and digestive tonics contain cinnamon. It was also used as an incense and in perfumes. According to Chamberlain, writing in France in 1887, cinnamon possesses the greatest antiseptic properties. Cinnamon is gathered from the dried inner bark of the branches of a small tropical evergreen laurel tree. The bark is peeled off, and as the pieces are dried, they curl up into quills. These are the common cinnamon sticks that are used in herb teas and for baking.
In Chinese medicine, cinnamon is one of the most widely used warming herbs to aid in circulation and digestion. It is a common ingredient in small amounts in tea used for nausea during pregnancy. It is also used following delivery to decrease hemorrhage. Cinnamon raises vitality, warms and stimulates all the vital functions of the body, counteracts congestion, improves the digestive system, relieves abdominal spasms, and aids in peripheral circulation. The essential oils contained in cinnamon include eugenol, cinnamonic aldehyde, methyl eugenol, tannins, and mannitol, which give cinnamon its sweet flavor. It also contains cinnazolin and cinnazenolol, which are both known insecticides.
Try putting some liquid soap and cinnamon in a spray bottle and use on plants as an organic bug repellent. Cinnamon is also included in many medicinal recipes that are used for lice, scabies, and other skin parasites. Cinnamon has antifungal, antiviral, and bactericidal activities. It has been shown to suppress E. coli, Staphylococcus, and Candida albicans.
So, listeners, the next time you inhale that sweet, spicy aroma, remember there's more to cinnamon than meets the nose as you reach into your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Please join us at naturalnurse.com. Join the mailing list by just putting your email and nothing else in the box at the bottom of the page. And click on calendar to find out all the classes and workshops, many of which have CE units available for health professionals. And even if you're not a health professional, you can take it just for your own knowledge. And of course, we have many radio shows available, thousands, in fact. And today's guest, Dr. Michelle Thompson, her show will be there as well if you feel someone else should also listen to this. And Dr. Thompson earned her medical degree at Mount Sinai School of Medicine and has a long career of being at the top of many organizations. And then we are so fortunate that she discovered functional medicine. Tell us, Dr. Thompson, how did you get led to functional medicine and why are you excited about it?
I was led to functional medicine through my pathway from going from internal medicine to geriatrics. And in geriatric medicine, I observed people at end of life suffering while they were dying. And so I became interested in palliative medicine. And in palliative medicine, I became an expert in symptom management and connecting with patients. But after years and years of palliative medicine, it takes an emotional and spiritual toll of a feeling of helplessness, not being able to help to reverse patients' illness. And it was actually a nurse that I worked with at Holy Cross that told me about functional medicine. And as I started to explore it, I realized that many of the illnesses were potentially reversible. And when I took my first functional medicine course, I knew this was it, because we're actually focusing on identifying the root cause of illness, the root cause of physiologic dysfunction. And when you repair that, the body is then able to repair itself upstream. And that many, many, many of our illnesses are related to our lifestyle and they're reversible. And it became exciting to watch people heal. And it remains exciting to learn more and more ways about how it can help people heal themselves.
So in conventional medicine, as I'm sure you know, they seem to only talk about manage chronic disease. They don't even use that very nasty four-letter word you just threw out there, cure.
No, that is true.
Why, though? Why? That's madness.
Without touching on sensitive topics, we're trained to identify the diagnosis and algorithms for treatments. We're not taught to try to reverse illnesses. And without getting too political, it's hard to answer that question.
Isn't that a shame? But you're right. However, there's a lot of hope, because here we go. You, who was very steeped in conventional medicine and did a lot of good work through that avenue, now have incorporated this. And I would say functional medicine is actually the most powerful, cutting-edge, evidence-based medicine.
Yes, indeed. And that's what's so exciting about it. It's grounded in science-based medicine, so that it's not what a lot of conventional practitioners might consider to be, you know, quack medicine or woo-woo medicine. There's scientific evidence to support the approach, the treatment interventions, and the results.
Yeah, the outcome. Exactly. So that's very exciting. Now, when someone comes to see you, so now you have a practice, you have a private practice where you're incorporating a lot of these functional medicine aspects of healing. So how does someone do that? Do you have an actual physical office, or are you seeing people virtually?
It's a telehealth practice predominantly. I am able to see patients in person when needed. But 90% of the diagnosis is in the history. And it I don't want to undermine the importance of a physical exam, especially when it's required. However, to elicit the information that can promote healing requires deep conversations. And the history goes back to patients' prenatal history. Did their mother have any illnesses while she was pregnant? Did they have a vaginal delivery? Were they breastfed or bottle fed? Did they have childhood illnesses, exposure to antibiotics? So obtaining this information is time-consuming, and it's invaluable. And having the patient retell the story, they're often able to identify triggers of their illnesses. They're sometimes able to identify that specific moment in time when things went wrong, and what those mediators of those illness, what makes things worse. It's like, you know, people who have dairy and then they have bloating and abdominal discomfort. And then in talking about it, they finally realize, oh, maybe I should remove dairy from my diet because I'm intolerant.
Yeah. And that's a hard thing for people. It might take a session with someone like yourself who's knowledgeable. For, let's say you ate dairy 6 times a day, which is not unusual, right? People have milk in their coffee, and then they have a bagel with cream cheese, and then they have a grilled cheese sandwich. You know, they're having wheat and dairy all day long. That is not unusual. So you don't even know that that's what's triggering it until you have the concept of trying to eliminate it.
Absolutely. And so part of the reason why it's an active and proactive process is patients are given the homework to eliminate certain foods that may be triggers, and to notice how they feel. Notice their mood, notice their gastrointestinal symptoms, and even non-gastrointestinal symptoms. Oftentimes people develop joint pain and swelling in their limbs. And this can be related to gut issues, but they may not have gut issues. So their homework is to notice how they feel when they eliminate these foods. And then there is a strategic process for reintroduction to target which foods could be triggering this physiologic dysfunction.
And that's a whole new approach, because very often if they've been with a conventional physician, no one ever discussed what they were eating, even if they have. This blows me away, how gastroenterologists cannot be interested in what someone is eating for gastrointestinal symptoms. I don't understand that. That is not prudent medicine, according to the evidence.
I agree. That boggles my mind that they don't dive deep into these things. And I actually heard of a case just yesterday where a child was scheduled to have surgery, and the mom spoke to a functional medicine doc, and they were able to elicit a detailed history where the child had drank water on a trip in Mexico and had had symptoms since then. And he asked her to hold off on the surgery, which was an exploratory surgery for a three-year-old. They tested his stool and he had a parasite.
Oh my God.
Parasite and avoided the need for surgery.
Oh, that's another thing that is highly underdiagnosed. It seems, I don't know why, that conventional physicians seem to think we no longer have parasites.
Yes, unfortunately, we tend to focus on the macroscopic level. There's a lot of endoscopies and colonoscopies and biopsies looking for tumors and such. But a simple stool testing looking for, you know, bacteria and parasites can make a world of difference for someone with chronic fatigue or brain fog, joint pain, heartburn, numerous symptoms.
Well, what you just said is very interesting. Now, you're saying about testing. If someone does come to you, and please let us know again how people could get in touch with you, especially since you're available virtually, so they don't have to be in Florida. What kind of functional medicine tests or even conventional tests might you recommend that they get?
Well, because I'm a physician, I can order any of the conventional medicine testing, so that's easy. From a functional medicine perspective, it's important to look at the body and the systems as a whole. So we may want to do hormone testing, definitely test the function of the adrenal glands and their body's adaptation to stress. And stress, excuse me, is dietary stress. It could be trauma. It could be exposure to antibiotics or infections. So anything that offsets the body's homeostasis to stress. We also look at the body's ability to digest and absorb nutrients, detoxify, transport. We look at inflammation. We look at the immune system, energy metabolism, and the mitochondrial function. So testing may require blood samples, definitely stool sample to take a look at the gut, and saliva to take a look at some hormones. So it's a comprehensive look at all the major systems that function in an integrative way to have either wellness or illness.
Well, some of those sound very interesting, and I'm sure people are not necessarily aware about them. Like, let's talk a little bit about saliva testing, because science has shown that there are certain things, if we measure it through saliva, we get more accurate results. And a lot of people might never even have experienced that.
Yes, and particularly as it relates to the adrenal glands, looking at the cortisol level and the DHEA level.
Wait, doctor. Why would someone want to know DHEA level and cortisol level?
Well, cortisol and DHEA, there's a balance between those two hormones. And the cortisol is responsible for your stress response. And stress could also be things like eating a high sugar diet. So when the cortisol level is high, immediately it readies the body for emergencies. That's our fight or flight response. And that's normal. But in our life, our current lifestyle, we're not running from that tiger, you know, once in a blue moon. We're constantly on the go. We're constantly stressed with work-life balance, with school. And so when cortisol is chronically high, it impacts our energy metabolism, and it may impact our gut in terms of creating more inflammation because we start to break down our gut lining for fuel. So we lose muscle with chronic high cortisol. So high stress, high cortisol, we start to lose muscle and our body creates more fat. It also affects our immune system. It actually starts to suppress our immune system. So it's counterproductive long-term. It impacts our bones. And we start to break down our bones to have minerals available for the processes necessary because the body thinks it's in an emergency, but that emergency is every moment of your day for years.
That's the long-term stress response. Yes.
Correct. And what can happen is burnout as the cortisol level drops. A lot of people, they lose energy. Their mood is affected, and they just can't get up and go. they've lost that ability to adapt to their stressors in life. And so to balance the cortisol is the other hormone, the DHEA hormone. That's the rebuilding hormone. That's the one that builds muscle and builds bone and supports the body. That balance is offset with long-term stressors.
And this can easily be leveled. There is one test that I've seen conventional physicians do, and pretty much anyone can get it, which is a CRP test, mm-hmm. which might relate to hidden inflammation.
Yes, that's one of the tests that we use to identify hidden inflammation. And again, we're looking at inflammation, but we're not looking at the cause of the inflammation with that test. So we want to dive deeper and see where are the areas of dysfunction that's creating this inflammation. Is it their diet? Is it their stress response? Is it unhealthy relationships? So knowing that there's inflammation is good, but let's find out what's causing that inflammation, and then let's reverse that inflammation.
It's a good start. So one thing is you could have that, you know, CRP, like any physician will usually do that one, even though they're not knowledgeable like Dr. Michelle is in terms of going deeper with DHEA and cortisol, but it's a good start. And inflammation is so key. It's so key. It seems like it's really the base cause, even when we start looking at inflammatory cytokines, like are they being elevated or are they being depressed, like NF-kappa-B. We can even measure these things. And then when we get into botanical medicine, which we'll talk about a little bit, like supplements and herbs, we actually find that the mechanism by which they work is to decrease the availability of these inflammatory cytokines to affect an inflammatory response on the cell membranes. So it's a very, very important concept.
Absolutely. And with our current climate with COVID, and we know that it is an inflammatory response, it's a cytokine storm. And we also know that it's a hypercoagulable state, which means it causes clotting. It is more essential than ever to reduce inflammation in the body.
So true. Well, we're going to take another little break right here so that our home studio, which is Progressive Radio Network, that's where you guys are listening to us on, whether you're here with us live. We're here live every Tuesday at 10 a.m., The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and they have a wide range of other wonderful shows as well. So we'll let Progressive Radio Network step in here for a little break and identify themselves so that you know you can join PRN.FM. anytime you want, day or night. But here we are live with our wonderful guest today, Dr. Michelle Thompson, and we will be right back with more. And welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z here on Progressive Radio Network. And we're here today with our wonderful guest, Dr. Michelle Thompson. And Dr. Thompson, what is the best way for people to find you?
They can either contact me by phone at 954-210-7729, or they can reach me through the website at Epoch Medical. That's EPOCHEmedical.org.
And the website is lovely just to, you know, fish around there and look at the various things that you offer. Where did that word come from?
Epoch comes from the Greek word epoche with a tilde over the second E, and it means suspension of judgment. It was my observation that in medicine, patients are judged by their label, and that label is their diagnosis. And they also judge themselves very harshly. So my platform is to suspend judgment. This is a spiritual journey. This is a mental and emotional journey as well as physical journey. And it has no room and no place for judgment. We're all humans. We all make mistakes, and we all have the ability to heal.
That is a beautiful philosophy. So if someone, you know, were to come to you and you do even online a review of symptomatology, and then I imagine them filling out or sharing with you their daily diet as part of it, well, you might make suggestions. It's not like say, well, it's your fault now that you have this illness.
No, part of the process is meeting them where they're at. There are some folks who can barely get out of bed, and there are some folks who are running marathons. And it's important not to compare the ones that can't get out of bed to those that are running the marathon, and to have small goals, small achievable goals and successes as motivators. And then I'm there to take snapshots and to remind them of their success, because it's hard for individuals to see the progress that they're making because they have their eyes on this particular goal and they feel like it's so far reaching. And then I get to remind them, but remember when you couldn't get out of bed and now you're walking 15 minutes a day? So I'm here also as a support and a coach to keep them going. And when they have moments where they relapse or, you know, fall back, that's okay. That's a part of the learning curve. That's part of the process.
Oh, that's a beautiful recommendation of looking at your healing journey or someone's healing journey. We've often found that too. People come in with, like you say, a specific diagnosis and begin a functional medicine path. And then when you're interviewing them, they may still have that diagnosis, but sometimes these little things that are really great come up, like you're sleeping better. When you wake up in the morning, you're not filled with mucus. Remember you said you were filled with mucus? Are you still? No, I'm not. But they don't even go, oh, wow, we got that far, because they still have, let's say, the bottom line diagnosis.
Correct. And part of the value of removing the label, like you said, is looking at the improvements in symptoms over time. That the label may go away for conventional medicine, but your symptoms are improving.
Yes, that's right. So where you're feeling better. That's what symptoms improving means, right? We're feeling less tired. We're feeling less anxious. We're feeling less achy and painy. We have, like I mentioned earlier, less mucus filling your nasal cavity in the morning. Those are really, really important, because it leads to overall health. And what we see is a linear improvement over time. And I have found that many patients will find, okay, so then they were being really sticking to the diet, feeling so much better, and then it's Thanksgiving or it's a wedding or whatever, and they go off it, and then they feel the return of symptoms. But I find that wonderful, because it's instructive.
It absolutely is, and the experience is invaluable. And it changes their relationship with what they eat. They'll now identify what is food, and food is medicine, and what is not food. Those things that they consume that cause dysfunction and discomfort, that is not productive for them. So that relationship changes.
Right. And sometimes I've had patients who, you know, make the decision, it's okay, I'm going to have that piece of birthday cake, I'm going to not feel that well the next day, you know, but they know what it's from.
Exactly. They have that awareness, and it won't happen too frequently. They'll do it very infrequently.
Right. Because who doesn't want to feel great? So absolutely. What about supplements, doctor? Because very often, you know, physicians in particular, not to pick on you, but will say things like, well, only pharmaceutical drugs are good and all supplements are unproven and not good.
Well, first off, pharmaceutical drugs have their scientific basis in food, in herbs, in plants. So that argument isn't valid. Supplements are extremely valuable, as they can serve as a bridge and as a support as someone is making those lifestyle changes. Some folks who have a lack of energy may need that support. So then when they have that energy, they're now able to do what needs to be done to maintain that energy. So it lifts them up, and then they are able to continue running the race, the marathon. So supplements have a role. And I've taken supplements, and I've noticed a difference pretty rapidly, actually. So there are supplements that are medical grade, which means they've been tested for quality and purity and consistency. They've gone through the same rigorous testing, FDA testing, as conventional medications. They have their value and they have their place. the purpose is not to have someone reliant on medications or supplements unless they absolutely need it. For example, if someone has a genetic defect and they need to take a supplement lifelong, that's a different scenario. But support is what we want to give patients so that they're able to fly.
Yes, that's very true. So what are some of supplements that you personally recommend?
Some of the basics and fundamentals are a good multivitamin with minerals. Our food sources are nutrient deficient. And so a good multivitamin with minerals is great. With COVID, I encourage folks to make sure that their vitamin D levels are therapeutic and not in the 30s. We generally recommend anywhere between 50 to 100. I like my patients to be closer to 70 to 90, the higher end of the therapeutic range for
vitamin. Wait. That's an important piece of information. So people can get their vitamin B level tested. Really, any doctor can order that, or do people just get it done on their own?
They can do both. They can get it done on their own or have a physician recommend it. But I've seen lots of patients with vitamin D levels of 35 or 40. Mm-hmm. Because it's within the lab reference range, they don't get supplemented. And when they do get supplemented, they feel better. I've had patients with recurrent yeast infections with a low vitamin D level. And by supplementing just the vitamin D, that stopped. Or people with low energy, or their mood was a little depressed. And just by taking vitamin D, it impacted their mood, their immune system, their energy level. It's protective of their bones. I mean, vitamin D is such a powerful tool to use. And for many of us who are in Florida, we have access to the sun, but we hide from it. Our vitamin D levels are chronically low.
I know. It's such a big thing. It's so inexpensive, particularly with COVID. I would like to know why, in addition to whatever, you know, things they are recommending, why wouldn't it be prudent to give away for free vitamin D and zinc, even just that, which are in the literature, because I've been keeping up with the literature, are massively implicated in being helpful for COVID in particular.
Yes, as well as things as, you know, glutathione and vitamin C. The antioxidant support is extremely important at this point in time. These are just some of the basics, but understanding and testing what individuals need so that they're not taking too many supplements.
Yes, that's true.
To target what benefits that person.
So that's where seeing a physician who's trained in this is such an excellent idea, because I'm sure you've seen, as I have, people come in with literally shopping bags full yes. of vitamins, and they're taking 100 pills a day and not being well because it was never tested, and there's all kinds of additives in those things, and then they cancel each other out. It does need to be done in a logical way.
And additionally, a lot of the over-the-counter supplements, they may have the valuable ingredient, but they may not have it at the dosing strength that the patients would actually experience a benefit. So there is a strategy, as you know, to prescribing or recommending supplements to get the optimal effects.
So true. So how do you test? Boy, we're almost out of time. This went so fast, Dr. Michelle. But how do you test people? You know, what would you suggest they do in terms of being able to determine specific levels of nutrients?
There's different labs that do individual nutrient testing. And what's lovely about these lab tests is not only looks at your carbohydrate metabolism, fat metabolism, and protein metabolism, but it looks at the different amino acids, vitamin levels, your B vitamins, your antioxidant support, your liver's ability to detoxify. It also looks at heavy metal toxicity. So there's a number of different labs, and I don't want to identify just one, but there's a number of different labs that do nutrient testing. that will be extremely helpful and valuable in targeting what the patient needs to do in terms of their diet, their lifestyle, and their level of support for supplements that's needed.
It is. I really do think, again, that this should all be part of regular mainstream evaluations regularly, because, you know, if you were to find someone has a little low level of, let's say, a B vitamin, and meanwhile they're plagued with low level anxiety, you know what? It's usually linked to a B vitamin deficiency, which is so inexpensive and so much less harmful than going on anti-anxiety meds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree completely.
And the literature is there for someone like yourself, so deeply rooted in mainstream medicine, so well educated, being the head of so many organizations where you had to evaluate the cost to the organization as well as the patient. You know, that's what's in functional medicine, where all of those things are met.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So I think it's exciting that you are helping people on this level.
Yes, thank you. I'm very excited about helping folks. And it's even more rewarding when I get an email saying that they feel better within a short period of time. That is so rewarding.
Right. With something that, you know, everything you give them makes them better, not only with whatever their original issue is, but also, you know, they sleep better, they feel happier. They're also lost weight as a nice effect if they happen to be overweight rather than as the goal.
Yeah, and their overall quality of life improves. Their life experience changes completely.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest and for making functional medicine available with a deep base in your advanced training in conventional medicine. This all works together. It's not one side or the other. It's everything you know points to this kind of therapeutic intervention.
Yes, it does. And thank you once again for having me, Ellen. It has been an absolute pleasure.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You can find Dr. Michelle's links and phone number on the archive, which will be posted, and you can tell any of your friends to listen in if you enjoyed the show, and it will be there for your listening perusal and pleasure, thanks to our host station, Progressive Radio Network. Until next time, we want hope that everything in your life is well, and this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, along with my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, hoping that you stay healthy.